Your Financial Choices may discuss various financial-related topics and thus would like to offer the following disclosures. Lori Siebert is employed by Valley National Group, the Valley National Financial Advisors Group of Companies. Investments are offered through Valley National Investments Incorporated, member FINRA. We inform you that any federal tax, state tax, financial advice, or information contained in this communication is not intended to be personalized or specific in nature or to be relied upon for your personal situation in any circumstance. The advice and information are not intended and cannot be used as a tax opinion letter nor used for the purpose of avoiding tax-related penalties. For personalized advice specific to your own situation, we recommend that you consult your CPA, CFP, or attorney.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. I'm a CPA, CFP, and AEP on the web at yourfinancialchoices.com. And you can listen online each and every week at wdiy.org. Today is December 9th, 2015. The markets were down today. The Dow closing at 17,492. The NASDAQ at 5022. And the S&P at 2047. Something a little different this week. I'm honored to have as my guest Jeff Parks. We are live tonight. We will take your questions, but you have to call them in, and Judy Ann is in the studio. She'll write the question down and bring it into the studio, so we're not taking live calls on air tonight. So, but you can still call in and give your question to Judy Ann. We do discuss general financial planning topics and not specific investments, and while I do typically have a topic each week, you can still ask questions off topic, and I'll do my best to answer them. The number tonight is 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810. And we are continuing our pledge drive through the hour. We're not doing as much pitching because we hope that the listeners of Your Financial Choices don't need to be pitched to. You're just going to call in and give and help us do a little Christmas gifting to WDIY. So you can do that online at wdiy.org or call in at 610-758-8810 and make an extra pledge for Christmas, or become a member if you haven't been a member in the past and you're maybe a regular listener of Your Financial Choices. So please do that at 610-758-8810 or through the website wdiy.org. What's really fun with this show, Your Financial Choices, is we can tie so many things to financial choices in our lives, and we thought it would be really great if we could get someone who's had such an impact on our community and the financial impact of Bethlehem and all that we enjoy and this environment in which we work. And who is that person? Jeffrey Parks. Jeff Parks graduated from Lehigh University and the University of Pennsylvania Law School and serves as the executive director of the Arts Quest Foundation, a support organization for Arts Quest in Bethlehem. Mr. Parks is the founder and former president of Arts Quest, whose mission is building community through arts, offering arts, cultural, and education programs every day, serving over 1.4 million annually. He's the principal founder of Music Fest, which we all know and participate in and enjoy every single year, and other events as well, such as Chris Kindlemark, in Bethlehem Holiday Market. In addition to Music Fest, Arts Quest presents Blast Furnace Blues Festival, Greater Lehigh Valley Filmmakers Festival, Envision Photography Festival, and the list just goes on and on. And there's so much that I could say about Jeffrey Parks, but he has asked me not to read the entire bio. He has, though, under his leadership, developed two cultural campuses in Bethlehem, Banana Factory Arts Education Center and Steel Stacks, which offers over 1,400 programs annually, including art classes and camps, artists in residence in schools, after-school programs, and more and more and more. And now we have the cinema. It just goes on, doesn't it, Jeff? He's laughing. He's also an advocate and frequent speaker on arts, culture, and tourism as drivers for economic development. See? Financial choices. That's what we're going to talk about. He works with communities to address adaptive reuse of industrial sites and programming of complicated post-industrial urban sites. He's a member of the board of directors of the Association of Performing Arts, presenters, an organization that serves performing arts organizations, artists, and agents throughout the United States and Canada. And in 2014, he was appointed to the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. I hope I didn't do you any disservice by saying, you know, all the way through, because there is so much. It's so exciting. Everything that touches Bethlehem, you've had an impact on.
Well, not quite. Well, I don't think it's everything, like it. But certainly it's been a very interesting 30-some years.
Well, certainly what people talk about. Because don't we all talk about Music Fest and Arts Quest and what's going on at Steel Stacks and what's going on at the Levitt Pavilion and all
of those fun
things.
Let's hope people talk about it. Yes, absolutely.
And there's even more to talk about in the future. So we thought it would be a great opportunity to bring you on. So thank you for coming. So I mentioned we do talk about financial choices, and that's typically individuals that we're talking to. We usually start with goals when we work with individuals looking at their financial choices. So we look at goals, their resources, their uses of money, and then the strategies to reach those goals. So I'm sure it's much the same way for communities, and the difference being instead of goals for one, we're talking about the goals for a community, which I'm sure takes more buy-in. So it's not just that individual who's coming in saying, oh, I want to retire at 65. You have to get buy-in from so many different parties when we're talking about doing something at the community level. So I want our listeners to be inspired tonight, inspired by a dream, a passion, and a lot of hard work and support, and how it can create a snowball effect. So they'll see how this can happen in a community with a vision, and it can also happen to them individually too, all about having a dream. So I thought we could start with you telling us the story of your vision for Bethlehem.
Well, that's we'll try to keep that as a brief vision.
Okay.
When I was 12 years old, well, all the way back in 1960, the Bethlehem Globe Times had a project. 1960 was a seminal year in Bethlehem's history. It was the year that Bethlehem and Lancaster became the first historic districts in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And to celebrate that, the Bethlehem Globe Times had a competition for students, and I was in, sixth or seventh grade at that time. And it was also the same time that the Episcopal Bishop, Warnecke, challenged the community to take an area that was behind the Hotel Bethlehem. Many will know that as either the Colonial Industrial Quarter or the middle of Music Fest, and clean it up, because at that time there was a big dry cleaning or laundry company and an automobile junkyard. It's hard to believe when you see that today. Yeah. Along the Monocacy Creek. And we were, as kids, we were given this challenge by the Globe Times. Every week we went out to a different historical site in the downtown. And that's when I learned about not only the historical sites, but the Moravians and what they did when they started this community. And I could go on and on about that, but let me just say that the vision that I've borrowed is a shared vision with our Moravian founders. And that was a vision of a community that celebrated life in very specific ways. A strong part of the way the Moravians worshipped was with music. The Moravians brought over some amazing instruments, and I recommend to our listeners, if they haven't been to the Moravian Museum, one of the most fascinating parts about the museum, to me, is seeing some of the original instruments that the Moravians brought over to this country. Bethlehem was the place where many of the works of what are now considered classical composers were first performed in the New World. Not Philadelphia, not New York, but Bethlehem, thanks to the Moravians. So music was a strong part of this community from day one. The community was also well known for the word I use is acceptance. The word that others use is tolerance. People were accepted for whom they were. Our God's Acre is the first place in continental North America where Native Americans, Africans, and Europeans were buried side by side. This was extraordinarily progressive for the late 1700s. Bethlehem was also known for innovation. The reason that there was this crazy Countess Benigna who had the idea that women should be educated, which was considered extremely progressive at that time. And so she founded the first women's school in the United States, which ultimately became Moravian College.
You know, I think the Moravians also first allowed women to be priests.
Yes.
So I remembered reading about that. Jeff, this is fascinating. I want to keep going, but we need to take a quick break, and then we'll come back. Folks, if you have questions about what's been going on, what Jeff is involved in, the phone number is 610-758-8810, and you can also call to make a pledge.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including fee-based asset management. It all starts with personal goals and an understanding of risk tolerance, investment objectives, and the markets. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. And I have with me this evening, Jeffrey Parks, Executive Director of the Arts Quest Foundation. And Jeff's giving us a little bit of history of where his vision started. And I love this theme of the influence of the Moravians and their role of acceptance. And doesn't acceptance open us up to all different kinds of experiences, in whether it's the arts, music, people, diversity?
Absolutely. And what I was going into was innovation. What is now the Moravian Museum was put on the National Register of Historic Places, in part because the first mycologist in the United States mycologist, and that is a person who studies mushrooms and fungi. The Moravians were known for their scientific recording and experimentation, and of course the New World was new at that time, so the Moravians were performing experiments and sending documents of the science back to the Old World. And the other element, of course, was the arts. Jan Valentijn Haidt was one of the first and the most prodigious religious artist in colonial America, and lived in Bethlehem and was a Moravian. Johann Valentijn Haidt. So all of these things, the music, art, culture, science, innovation, tolerance, acceptance, whatever, diversity, were celebrated by the Moravians. So it didn't take much to leap from that to where does Bethlehem go, starting in 1977, when we had the first Black Friday at Bethlehem Steel, when people were walking out of Martin Tower in shock because the corporate headquarters was making layoffs, followed quickly by, and of course that was also happening in the plant, but that was followed in 1983 by a second huge round of layoffs. So at that time I was a young lawyer on the Bethlehem Chamber of Commerce, and I was in charge of the tourism committee. And I was asked to come up with one event that would bring visitors to Bethlehem at a time of the year other than Christmas, because we had a robust Christmas program that was actually started by the Chamber of Commerce in the 1960s. At that time of my life, we had already traveled to Germany to Oktoberfest. We'd experienced essentially some European street festivals in Austria and Germany. I believe that Bethlehem has a feel of many of these German communities, and obviously with the largest collection of 18th century Germanic style buildings in the country, there's even more of a feel of that. So I came up with this idea of having a festival with a German name that celebrated some of the city's German heritage, but was not a German music festival. It never was intended to be that. It was, at the time, it was heavily, this goes back to the founding of DIY and Godfrey Daniels. There was a heavy folk community in Bethlehem and the surrounding area. So the first music fest was very folk-oriented. But anyway, the idea was to create, at that time, a nine-day continuous event in August in downtown Bethlehem, both for the community, but also ultimately to bring visitors to support both our for-profit and non-profit institutions for 9 days.
So can I go back? So all of this kind of seeped into you, this vision, from when you were 12 years old and first getting involved in cleaning up some of the area behind Hotel Bethlehem.
Well, yeah, to go into a whole history lesson would be difficult, but from the time I was a child till 1984, when we started Music Fest, Bethlehem has had, which was rare among most communities, deliberately chosen to go forward with historic preservation as an economic development tool. So there were very foresighted people who stopped tearing down the downtown, which was something that started with Robert Moses in New York in the 50s as suburbanization was occurring. And people were moving out of center cities all over the country. All over the country, they were devastated from, you know, Allentown was the last to go, but Easton and Bethlehem fell quickly to suburbanization and malls and so on.
Mm-hmm.
We saw that Bethlehem chose to go the historic preservation route. We restored the Sun Inn, we restored the Colonial Industrial Quarter and the tannery and the grist mill, and the Moravians, God bless them, deserve the credit for preserving all of their properties, and they have been the anchor, number one anchor of the North Side downtown, at least, forever.
Well, of course, and then that draws people in because they love going and, you know, walking around, and it looks so nice. Now, was this happening all at the same time then, the preservation of the historic district and the start of Music Fest?
Well,
does that happen at
all
the
of
same
that
time?
Preceded.
Okay.
All of that had happened somewhere between 1965 and including City Hall, 1965 and 1984. But by 1984, with the loss of jobs at the steel company and the loss of revenue generally in the city, the retail community on the North Side was experiencing difficulties. And so Music Fest was a tourism promotion event that was designed to support the businesses in the downtown. But as it's turned out, of course, we support, you can't get a hotel room for 35 miles. So we support a lot of businesses around the Lehigh Valley for those 9 days in particular.
Now, did Banana Factory happen before Music Fest?
No. Music Fest started in 84, continued mm-hmm. On, of course. And I actually went back to practicing law full time. And I should mention now that my main law practice was representing small businesses and doing estate planning.
Oh, great.
So I fit into your niche very well. And then I was drawn into the nonprofit world because of my passion. The Banana Factory grew out of a deliberate decision by our board and me that we needed a full-time, year-round program that helped support, develop the South Side.
And can I just mention, I have taken classes at the Banana Factory, which I, you know, fell in love with mosaics.
Oh, yeah.
By taking a class. Yeah. I had always wanted to take a class. I got a little brochure in the mail. So that's just, you know, one of those resources that we talk about having in our community with the arts. And
well, let me take a quick digression on that, because mm-hmm. I can make a special announcement exclusive to your audience at this point. The Banana Factory was actually patterned in part after the Torpedo Factory in Alexandria, Virginia, where I had seen one project really turn around a city that, when I visited Alexandria in 1980, they had only two restaurants that were worth going to. The main street was pretty down in the dumps, and this Torpedo Factory, World War I Torpedo Factory, was sitting on the Potomac River. Now, imagine the D.C. area today,
yeah.
But one volunteer turned up and said, you ought to turn this big old building over to the artists. The Banana Factory was the vision of myself and Lenny Fowler and several others. And Lenny's vision, of course, is continued with the vision of ArtsQuest, which was accessibility to the arts. You know, only less than 75% of the people who receive services from ArtsQuest, even today, do not pay any fee for those services. Mm. Whether that's Music Fest, the Levitt Pavilion, our children's programming on Sunday mornings at Steel Stacks. And we offer 100% scholarship to any adult or child who wants to take a class or a course who can't afford it at the Banana Factory. So it was those combination of, we want people to have access to the arts, we want to do something that's going to improve the South Side, from which the Banana Factory arose. And as we speak today, ArtsQuest is in the process of reimagining the Banana Factory and will probably, between 2017 and 2018, start renovating and adding to the Banana Factory, because we're out of space. The artist community that we have now, if you haven't visited the Banana Factory lately, is spectacular. We have wonderful artists and a great demand to move in. We have great programs. Our glass studio is not just the only hot glass studio and teaching hot glass studio in the area, but it's a fantastic addition to what we can offer. So we're looking at really working on that, and hopefully having a new grand entrance to the Southside Arts District with the revised Banana Factory.
Awesome. We are talking with Jeff Parks from ArtsQuest. If you have any questions, you're welcome to call in, and Judy Ann will take your questions, 610-758-8810. We'll be back in a minute.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including income tax preparation for individuals, businesses, estates, and trusts. Tax preparation involves more than putting numbers on a return. It requires planning. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
And we are back. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We are also doing our pledge drive. If you would like to pledge, maybe you have not been a member in the past, but are a regular listener, I'm going to guilt you into calling in and pledging during this hour, 610-758-8810. You can also go online at wdiy.org. We are trying to spare you from incessant pledging, pitching during this hour, but we really still need your support, even though we're not asking every minute. So that is 610-758-8810. Please give online or through that number, and online is wdiy.org. Thank you in advance for your support. We would like to get some donations during the Your Financial Choices Hour. I always pride myself on what our listeners contribute to the station. In the meantime, we have in the studio with us this evening Jeffrey Parks, who is the executive director of the Arts Quest Foundation. And this is a great opportunity for us to get a glimpse into Jeffrey's vision and other people in the community, as you've given credit to the Moravians and the Chamber of Commerce way back, saying, what can we do for our businesses? So when we talk about financial choices, it's not just individual financial choices that we make for ourselves, folks, but there are people in the community who are helping support the same so that we can work here and live here and promote our own community. So Jeff, I want to talk for a moment how you kind of brought this all together. So the chamber said, hey, Jeff, think of something. And you thought of it. But thinking of it is just the tiniest little piece. You have this great creative idea. How did you sell it? And I want to kind of parallel this with even individuals. We might have a goal or a vision, and we might think it's so huge and maybe even undoable. How do you enact it? I'm losing my words tonight, well, and I apologize. But how do you...
One of the great privileges I have these days is talking to college students, both at Lehigh and Northampton Community College and occasionally at Moravian, and they ask exactly the same question. So I'll give you the brief answer, and the brief answer is, first of all, know what you're talking about. Really have thought it out. Secondly, don't think too small. I think that's the problem that most people have, frankly, is I always say, you know, if you're looking straight ahead, just look up a little bit and set your goals a little higher. Because you need to, you know, what are stars for except to reach, expand your reach or whatever. I think it was a circumstance of the time as well. There were several factors which it would take a long time to go into. But let's just say the business community was very favorably disposed. Everybody saw what was happening with Bethlehem Steel, but nonetheless, the business community, and I'm not talking about the retail merchants now or the hotels, I'm talking about your manufacturers, your office people, and so on, needed to continue to attract and retain the best possible workers. And even by 1984, everybody was aware of what was going on throughout the country, and that is small cities like Bethlehem were draining their lifeblood. Manufacturing was moving overseas, not necessarily originally to China, but to other places. And qualified employees were flocking to major cities because at least they offered amenities that they were desirous of. I personally had that choice by going to the University of Pennsylvania and deliberately decided, A, I didn't want to commute 2 hours a day on a train, which is what everybody did who was a professional working in downtown Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. And I would rather come back to a community where I felt a part of a community. I always feel like Bethlehem is like being in Cheers, you know, for better or for worse.
Right,
sometimes
right.
It's for worse, but kind of everybody knows your name. And that's not just true with notorious people like me. It's true with everybody that you've encountered. It's a small community, in effect. The business community was very supportive from day one. Even today, approximately 25% of the support for ArtsQuest of our annual budget is through the business community, which is astounding. It's way above a national average in terms of support from business for an arts organization. And the reason is in part gratuitous, because they want to support a community organization, but it's also in part because they do understand that the people that they're attracting, I always say that quality employees don't come in all white male anymore. They come in many colors and genders. And what we do is provide arts and culture for a diverse people in a diverse ways, from cinema to even doing some theater now, to music, of course, which is our main fare, to visual arts and so on. This is a broad appeal to people who have, you know, how are you going to keep them down on the farm? They've all been to Paris. Mm-hmm. So these are people that we want to provide. We can't provide exactly what New York and Philadelphia are providing, but what our goal has been with ArtsQuest is to fill in the gaps wherever possible, to fill in a year-round art cinema program that runs really fun specialty cinema programs as well, to fill in visual arts education and art exhibits and contact with living artists and places for living artists to gather and to exhibit their work. ArtsQuest is the largest employer of Lehigh Valley artists through our music program and through what we do with the Banana Factory. We are the largest employer. Nobody you ever see on a stage at ArtsQuest is performing for free unless they're, you know, high school kids or something like that. So that's the vision, is where arts are thriving and where people have access to the arts, which is very similar to what the Moravians had originally. Mm-hmm. And where each individual is valued for what they can contribute to the community and what they do, or what they, just being who they are. And that's very platonic, but it's actually what people are attracted to. Today we stand in a totally different situation from 1984. The unemployment rate in the Lehigh Valley is approximately 5%. And if you talk to any main employer, they're going to tell you that their largest challenge is getting the employees with the skill sets that they need to be successful. And so part of what we're doing is helping to provide the amenities for the people with these skill sets. But part of also what needs to happen is, you know, the education community, like the community colleges and so on, are stepping in. But we have a tough road to hoe now, because we have, according to a study that was done in 2012 by the Federal Reserve Bank, of all of the cities in the third district, which is southern New Jersey, Delaware, and two-thirds of Pennsylvania, there were, in 1950, 13 cities with a population of 50,000 or more that had 50% or more people employed in manufacturing. Those cities all had different faiths, from Trenton, New Jersey, to Chester, Pennsylvania, to Harrisburg, to Altoona, Bethlehem, Lancaster, Wilmington, Delaware. Of those 13 cities, the Federal Reserve determined that the most successful and financially healthy city was Bethlehem. And the reason it was healthy was because we had highest employment, we had highest residential occupancy, residential ownership, lowest dependency on public programs, and the list goes on. That didn't happen by accident. And so our vision was to supply, provide, and encourage culture and arts as a tool for economic development. I want to say that, give credit where credit's due. The other major part of why Bethlehem is successful is Lehigh Valley Industrial Park. And the third component was great leadership throughout, mm-hmm. Consistent good leadership in this community. Mm-hmm. I have thought long and hard about this, and those are the three elements that help things happen. ArtsQuest deserves credit, Lehigh Valley Industrial Park deserves credit, and the leadership of this community over the past 30 years deserves credit for why this community is, comparatively, we're still not where I want to be,
yeah.
And we never probably will be.
Well, we're going to talk about that a little bit too, aren't we?
This community is by all measures doing extremely well.
We have to take a little break, and I want to continue our discussion, learning more about where we have come from, where we are, and then a little bit of where we're going by the end of the show. Hopefully we can fit that in and talk about that. One thing I think is clear is when you talk about back again with the acceptance the Moravians had, an openness, and the diversity that's required. It is in our diversity that has kept us alive, really.
Yes.
It's not just the diversity of our people, it's the diversity of our skills, it's the diversity of the services in our community, the diversity in the arts that we have. So I think that that's very important. And it's the same thing when we look at investments and we talk about asset allocation, not putting your eggs all in one basket. And if we're properly diversified, we're going to be more successful. So it holds true here as well. Folks, we are coming up on our halftime break. We're going to continue our discussion with Jeff Parks from ArtsQuest, and we're going to talk a little bit about the support that ArtsQuest gets from the community, but that's not all the support that they need. There are other ways to support ArtsQuest, and we're going to talk about that a little bit when we come back. Folks, if you would like to call in with questions, the phone number is 610-758-8810. We're also continuing a December pledge drive. And at this time in December, we know it's gift-giving time. It's the end of the year. Maybe you itemize your deductions. You're looking for a tax deduction. You can do that with WDIY. We are a 501c3. You can call in at 610-758-8810. That's 610-758-8810, or online at wdiy.org. And Seamus McGrogan is joining us in the studio, and he's going to talk a little bit about the benefits of supporting WDIY.
That's right. Thank you, Lori, for having me. We are in day number 3 of our December pledge drive, so we are trying to stay on track with the different programs we have. We've had a great response so far from our listeners today. We're hoping that the Your Financial Choices audience can also step up a little bit and support the great programming and the space here we have for all the great financial advice that Lori offers week in and week out here on Your Financial Choices. It's programs like this on WDIY that are only around because they are supported by the listeners, and that is how we operate here as a listener-supported station. So as we come up to the end of the year, we're hoping that you can help keep WDIY financially secure and help us keep these programs coming to you. We have volunteers standing by in Pledge Central, 610-758-8810, or go online to wdiy.org. We'd love to give you a thank you on the air for supporting this great service.
And do we have any extra benefits if our members make a donation to WDIY? Is there any help in the community? Usually we do something.
We absolutely do, and we have a great partnership this drive with Meals on Wheels of Lehigh and Northampton Counties and PPL. So for every $100 we raise just this week during this drive, Meals on Wheels will receive the funds to provide 10 meals to senior citizens, and that's all thanks to our partnership with PPL. So rest assured that all the money that a listener out there will donate stays with WDIY. It doesn't get split up or diverted. It stays with WDIY, and then PPL takes care of that donation to make sure Meals on Wheels can provide those 10 meals. So you can rest assured that your support is going towards WDIY and Meals on Wheels, a great double benefit for the community here in the Lehigh Valley.
And then you become a member. If you make a donation of $100, we provide 10 meals, and you become a member of WDIY, and there's benefits of becoming a member of WDIY.
Absolutely. If you become a member at the basic level, so if you give at least $60 for the year, or that could just be $5 a month if you want to be a sustainer, you're going to get access to our weekly member ticket giveaways. So every Sunday, you're going to get an email in your inbox with offers to see music concerts, theater performances, film screenings, all the great results of our partnerships in the community here at WDIY. And as you talk to Jeff Parks today, we have a number of great ArtsQuest events that we have throughout the year, including the Music Fest Cafe. So plenty of great concerts throughout the year and events throughout the year that you can get a chance to win just for becoming a WDIY member. And these are the types of shows where if you get just a pair of tickets, that will most likely just pay for your membership. So good financial sense.
Yes, and you get weekly reminders of some of the upcoming shows that are going to be on WDIY each week, and one of those is this show, Your Financial Choices. So you have a preview of the topic that we're covering, and it is quite convenient.
That's right. You can stay up to date with everything going on, including what's coming up with Lori's show here every week. So in order to help WDIY, help Meals on Wheels, get the benefits of being a member, we need to hear from you now, 610-758-8810, or go online to wdiy.org.
Thank you very much, Seamus. And thank you, listeners. I hope that you act on this. It would be great during the show, your financial choices, to be able to show that the listeners are active members and engaged and appreciate shows such as this, Your Financial Choices. So we're going to continue our discussion right now with Jeffrey Parks, Executive Director of ArtsQuest. And Jeff, really, this is a platform for us to have some awareness of, you know, all that has been accomplished, not just by you, as you had said, but the Moravians and the Chamber and the Lehigh Valley
LVIP, Lehigh Valley Industrial Park.
Industrial Park, and so many of the leaders that all were part of this vision, and even the community for coming out and supporting.
Absolutely.
Because I come from a small town and in Michigan, and I also come from a family that was self-employed, and they had a little store, a little hardware store. So one thing my husband and I always try to do is patronize the local businesses. So you had that on a much grander scheme. I'm one little person trying to support all these businesses. But I really think the community should come out and support the arts, support the businesses, just in general anyway. I mean, it helps us. It helps our property values. It's a good financial choice to keep your money local, to keep your shopping local, to keep, you know, your tourism local, folks. So I think this is all a great benefit that we have, that there is so much here. We don't have to go outside for it. It doesn't hurt to run into New York City once in a while or Philadelphia, but certainly, folks, we need to patronize locally as well. Let's talk about some of the support of ArtsQuest and how you get that. You mentioned that you get some of it, 25%, from businesses. So I'd like to talk for a moment, since we are talking about giving. It's December, donations, charitable contributions on tax returns. They can do that to WDIY. But ArtsQuest is also a nonprofit and benefits from people's philanthropy. So can we talk for a minute about that? Well, and then, I want to talk about some of the future you see, because your visions just don't stop. So I want to talk a little bit at the end about that. So let's talk a minute about...
Well, ArtsQuest has a substantial operating budget because we do substantial work. And as I mentioned, approximately 80% of the people who receive services from us, whether it's a Levitt Pavilion concert or the children's program we do on Saturday morning at Steel Stacks or whatever. We do lots of programming that's no charge. That's not by magic. Everything costs something. All of our artists are paid. And so we have been a very upside-down organization in terms of how we generate support. We are, as we used to say, a three-legged stool. The smallest leg of our stool is admission fees and tuition payments for classes at the Banana Factory.
Like me. I paid to take mosaics.
Yes.
And it was worth it.
Good.
I loved it.
And I would encourage people. It's all those classes are great experiences, and they're taught by local artists, which is great. That's a small percentage. Actually, it's about 24% of our revenues is only from ticketed admissions, including the movies and so on. The great art cinema we have at the Frank Banco Ale House Cinemas, it's a very small percentage. The other percentage is about 25% or 28% is donated. 25% is donations from corporations, and 3% is donated from individuals. And the main reason people donate to nonprofit organizations is because we haven't asked. So as I retired or transitioned from the chief executive officer of ArtsQuest to the foundation, we have now launched a major campaign to ask people if they're benefiting from our programs or if they appreciate what we're doing with developing their community, both locally and regionally, that they consider donating to ArtsQuest personally. It is, as you said, tax deductible. And we're focusing on both membership as a way of donation, outright donations, or planned gifts is what I'm working on now, which, as somebody involved in estate planning you're familiar with, we can plan giving includes a gift now to a foundation where the money's going to be applied for many years to come to support the ArtsQuest programs like Music Fest, like the Levitt Pavilion. It also involves planning in your estate. So you can, in your will, if you choose to, you can name ArtsQuest a beneficiary of a percentage of your estate or a fixed amount. Or you can come to us for something called the charitable gift annuity. If you're retired and want to place your money in so that you get an immediate donation, you can get a very favorable interest rate on this, because, of course, at the end of the day, the charity, in this case ArtsQuest, but you can do this with almost any college, university, or other charity, gets a favorable amount upon your demise. We are offering those now for the first time. So this is what we need to be successful. We roll it all, literally. We rolled the dice on SteelStacks. SteelStacks started planning in 2002. It was clear that other than the casino, which has been, I'm a very positive person towards the casino, because they've had a major influence on the economy here in Bethlehem, and they're employing 2,300 people. And they donated the land for where SteelStacks is now. So without them, we wouldn't have a SteelStacks, but they didn't pay for the buildings, exactly. And so we had to raise a lot of money, and we tried to raise enough to support us during the hard years. You know, they always say it takes 3 years to start a new business or a new operation. And in fact, that proved to be exactly true with us. We proceeded in 2011 and 2012 to lose all of our cash reserves, to the point where in early 2012, I wasn't really sure that we were going to make it. It was a dire moment. Talk about your financial planning. If you're going to start a business, make sure you have reserves or a rich uncle somewhere. To the point where in mid 2012, we received a loan of $1.5 million to support paying off some of our trade creditors and staying in operation. And the bank that did that, I also have to say, throughout this experience, the banks have been wonderful. And that loan was, let's just say, a generous loan. We're paying it back. And as of 2014, while our financial returns are kind of funky because of nonprofit accounting rules, last year, for the first time since we opened SteelStacks, 2014, money in exceeded money out, which is a miracle. But we still have not only debt, but we have something called depreciation, which is very real. The banana factory hasn't had much love since we opened the second part of it in 2002. So, you know, there's just ongoing things like that, regular operating expenses, and the depreciation that, you know, we put $2.7 million worth of technology in the ArtsQuest Center, in the Music Fest Cafe, the cinemas, and so on. And next April, that technology will be 5 years old. So if anybody owns a computer or any other device, you know that a five-year-old technology is kaput. So we have a lot of extra revenue that we're going to need to support giving the quality of programming that we desire to present to our community and for our community. And that's why I'm engaged in this fundraising process with the foundation.
Well, let me just mention a few things. One is that I think having you come on the show, I was interested in the awareness and the history and everything. And I think if people feel more connected to it, they're going to be more invested in it. And again, getting people to invest back into our community, but also getting people familiar and comfortable with things. I think sometimes the reason people resist participating is because they might not understand, and your guys are out there in the community, but sometimes you just need people to know, hey, there are these scholarships or there are opportunities or classes. Don't be afraid to go in and try. Don't be afraid to go down and visit and walk around and go to the banana factory and meet the artists in residence. They have classes there too. Don't be afraid to go to the Levitt Pavilion. It is free concerts. Go down, walk around, don't be afraid. I think that's one element of that. But I also want to talk about giving in a couple different ways, which, you know, we do tax planning for people, and we talked about planned giving. People can give during their lifetime. My favorite way to give to charity for clients is if they don't need the money, just give it. We don't have to get fancy. We don't have to get complicated. Just give it. But there are a number of ways of giving. They can give cash gifts, but they can also gift appreciated securities. And I assume that ArtsQuest would be open to accepting appreciated securities if someone should choose to donate them. And basically what that means is If folks, you're out there, you're thinking you have benefited yourself from the arts in some way and you would like to give something back, it doesn't have to be gigantic gifts, $100,000. It could be a $2,000 donation, a $1,000 donation, $5,000, $10,000. You can pick the number. But typically, charitable organizations will have an account that you could transfer an appreciated security to. And in that way, you don't have to sell it and pay an income tax on that gain. You donate the appreciated security, and as long as you've had it over a year, you get a deduction for the full amount. I'm going to talk about a couple other methods of giving when we come back. We have to take a quick break. Phone number tonight, 610-758-8810. And to give, you can go online at wdiy.org.
WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services for more than 25 years, including estate planning and tax preparation, especially for Pennsylvania and New Jersey residents subject to state inheritance tax reporting. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000. WDIY thanks its members and Valley National Financial Advisors, offering a broad spectrum of financial services including portfolio management, tax return preparation, and financial planning for the accumulation years, retirement years, and estate distribution. On the web at valleynationalgroup.com or 610-868-9000.
Welcome back to the show. This is your host, Lori Siebert. You're listening to Your Financial Choices. We're talking about some of the financial choices you have to make, in particular before year end. What have you done with your charitable giving? Let's talk about that for a minute. I have as a guest with me this evening Jeff Parks, who is the executive director of the Arts Quest Foundation. We are talking about the wonderful history of Arts Quest Music Fest, the founding of it, the impact on the community, the financial impact on the community, how they have given to us, and how the community needs to give back to them. And it's perfect timing at the end of the year when you're doing your last minute tax planning. Maybe it's time for you to make a charitable contribution to a favorite charity. Maybe you don't have a favorite charity, but you have been a huge fan of Music Fest all these years. Different ways to give. Jeff had mentioned in your will, you can name a charity in your will for a specific dollar amount or for a percent of your assets. He also mentioned a charitable gift annuity that you can work with someone in planned giving with the organization, whereby you make a donation, they pay you an annuity throughout your life, and you get a deduction on your tax return for some part of that donation. Other ways to gift, as I was mentioning before we went to break, was you can donate appreciated assets. That's a great way when you're looking to rebalance your portfolio and you find out you have some asset classes that have grown too big, and rather than sell them, you can donate them and you get a deduction on your tax return. It's quite easy to do if you've never done it before. Another way that many people might overlook is that perhaps you're someone who is charitably inclined, but you think you might need the money during your lifetime and you'd like to wait to do something until you pass, but you don't know what that's going to look like. You don't know what the dollars are going to be. Maybe you don't want to put it in your will. You don't want to have to change your mind in your will and have an attorney change those documents. Do you know that you can name a charity as a beneficiary of an IRA? I tell our clients, if you're looking to be charitably inclined, give your children the cash, give the charities your IRA, because the IRA has income tax on it to your family members, but charities, nonprofits, do not pay income tax. So an IRA is a great way to give. There is some legislation that may be pending. We hope by year end that they'll allow something called a qualified charitable distribution. That's for folks who are 70 and a half or older who have required minimum distribution rules. They can make a distribution from their IRA directly to a charity, and then they don't have to claim that income on their return. They also don't get the deduction on Schedule A. That has not been extended yet, but it may be. We don't know. One of the suggestions, Jeff, that I've told folks is if you were going to do the donation anyway, have the IRA issue the check directly to the charity, and then if the legislation is passed, they will have already made their qualified charitable distribution then, because it works that
way. If you're interested in this, whether you want to donate to ArtsQuest or not, you can find out more information about doing this at the artsquestfoundation.org. Click on Donate, and all of these methodologies for giving, including plan giving, are on there. And we will be posting on the website as soon as we hear whether Congress has passed the annuity or the
qualified charitable distribution.
We'll also be sending out emails to everyone about that as soon as we find out.
Okay, so that website is artsquestfoundation.org. Okay, is there a link to that from your ArtsQuest website as well?
There's a link to that from all of our websites, from SteelStacks, from Banana Factory, from ArtsQuest, from Levitt Pavilion. The top, you look at the top and they're all connected with each other. You just click on ArtsQuest Foundation.
And also on probably any of those websites, you're going to have calendar of events and upcoming events, ways to get involved, ways, classes that are going on
exactly
at the Banana Factory.
If you really don't know ArtsQuest and you just aren't familiar with it at all, we truly do operate programs every single day of the year. Christmas Day, we're opening two great movies, Joy and The Danish Girl, two indie flicks, that are both of which are going to be nominated for Academy Awards. Right. And I just saw Spotlight the other night, which is a fantastic movie. Also, we do programming every day of the year. So you can go to steelstacks.org or artsquest.org. Click on the calendar, see what's going on that day. We do a lot of comedy. We literally are running, I think it's up to over 2,000 programs a year, which is a stunning amount at this point.
So there's always something to do. So if you ever hear someone saying, oh, I'm bored, what should we do? You know, all they have to do is go to one of the websites.
And if you like comedy, we do have both stand-up and improv two nights a week now.
Oh.
We have a lot of great local talent involved in improv, and we teach improv as well. We have improv classes in the style of Upright Citizens Brigade, if anybody's familiar with that. They're in New York and Los Angeles. So again, we're creeping up to that. Some of the things that big cities have, we can really actually do here very well. We have great talent in the Lehigh Valley, and we try to let them be them at our venues.
So this is one of the ways that we also retain some of the talent that we have in the colleges and universities. Ways to keep them local is to make sure they're entertained, because today's generation likes to be entertained. So we want to keep the talent here.
Or at least get them back after they've seen Paris for a couple of years.
Okay, let them go and then come back, and they'll come back with all their smarts like you did, right? So talk to us for a minute about the vision of what's going on. I've heard you speak about some of the things that are planned for South Bethlehem.
Well, one of them, fortuitously, one of them was just announced today. They announced the Dennis Benner's project at 3rd and New Streets, which is a partnership with St. Luke's University Hospital and Lehigh University. There's going to be moving 200 employees to 3rd and New Street, right across the street from the Banana Factory. And that's very exciting to put. I think that's going to anchor some other things, including a parking garage and Dennis's housing projects on 4th Street, which will put more residents over on the south side. We are, ArtsQuest and the city and several other partners are working on a wayfinding system, which is going to improve things.
Explain that. What is that? A wayfinding system?
Well, this year Bethlehem will have received 10 million tourists. To put that in some context, New York City receives 55 million visitors a year, and Orlando receives 44 million a year. Most of those 10 million tourists either went to the Sands or to Music Fest or some other activities, primarily on the south side of Bethlehem. So that's a very small piece of geography to be receiving so many visitors. The purpose of wayfinding is to provide systems which include signage, online components, physical maps, and so on, that guide people not just to their destination, but help inform them about everything else that's available in the community. Most of our visitors to the casino come up Route 412 from I-78. We want to start informing them with a signage system that they can visit the Southside Arts District or the Moravian Historic District or Lehigh University or Moravian College. And that there's much more to do in Bethlehem, including the casino. There's much more arts and culture here. We're also, as part of that program, going to introduce the Bethlehem Innovators Project, which is going to be honoring innovators from 1741 to the present. And I personally am amazed at the list that we're going to be announcing. Bethlehem has always been a home of innovation, and that's exciting as well, to encourage innovators to consider moving here, locating their business here, being a part of the community.
So that innovation program, what is that going to entail? You're going to announce people, but is it going to be documented?
It's going to be documented on the website that's a part of the wayfinding mm-hmm. program. And it's also going to be documented on some of the signage. And we're going to acknowledge some of these people and some of the many things that are still happening in this community today.
Jeff, I just want to mention that if I can take a break just for a moment, Hannah from Bethlehem became a new sustaining member. Thank you very much, Hannah. Folks, if you can still give online at wdiy.org or through calling in 610-758-8810. Jeff, could you take for a moment... At ArtsQuest, there's the walk now. Could you explain what that is?
The Hoover Mason Trestle.
The Hoover Mason Trestle. I live on the west side, and I'm from Michigan originally, so I don't know all the names, and I apologize. But the Hoover Mason Trestle, talk about that
for a moment. Sure. Let me just mention that the Hoover Mason Trestle, the Visitor Center, and the Levitt Pavilion, and all of the things you see on the grounds at Steel Stacks were paid for through the Tax Incremental Financing District, a substantial part of which is the taxes on the Sands Casino. And that expires in 2020. The Hoover Mason Trestle is a four-story high elevated railroad track that when I was a kid brought iron ore, coke, and limestone, the ingredients for iron, from where the casino is now, where that big bridge in front of the casino is an ore bridge. And there were scoopers that put the raw materials into these train cars, and they were brought up to the Hoover Mason Trestle, and then they were put in bins next to the blast furnaces so that they could be combined in a very specific formula to make what they called a heat, which was a group of iron ore, or iron that came out of these blast furnaces and then was transported throughout the plant. And the walk along one of my favorite stories is that no member of my family ever worked at Bethlehem Steel, but I owe the fact that I exist to them because my father was from Michigan also and was a student at the University of Michigan when World War II broke out. He was in the U.S. Army, and because he was a chemistry major, was assigned to ordnance and artillery. And where they trained the ordnance and artillery was in Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. next to the plant where it was being made. Mm-hmm. So he met my mother at a USO dance that my grandmother was chaperoning. And so that's how I became here. Uh-huh. And while, the fact that Bethlehem Steel was here, that brought them together. So
so we both have a connection from Michigan to Bethlehem.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So the trestle, the Hoover Trestle.
It's a very moving experience. Even if you have no relation to Bethlehem Steel, it's a very moving experience to walk up on that trestle, to see to somebody like me who is not an engineer and really doesn't understand how things work. It looks like a big Rube Goldberg, but clearly a lot of people devoted a lot of ingenuity, time, talent and heft to make all of that work. Some of their names are engraved on some of these tracks. It looks as though they just shut down and left yesterday. There's water fountains there and hoses and all kinds of stuff. It's very interesting, and there are interpretive signs all along the way.
Mm-hmm. Anything else you'd like to add? We have about a minute left.
Well, I'd just like to welcome everyone to come to ArtsQuest, to Steel Stacks, to the Banana Factory. And whatever your charity of choice is, it is the season. It's an opportunity for you to get a tax deduction, but it's also for you an opportunity for you to support the people who are doing good work in the nonprofit community throughout the region.
Because there's a lot of work behind that.
Yes, there is.
And it's for all of us. So thank you so much for being here, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
And the website's ArtsQuest.
ArtsQuestFoundation.org.
Okay, ArtsQuestFoundation.org, and all of those websites are connected, so you can find all of the activities or events that are upcoming. Chris Kindlemart is
going. Chris Kindlemart, but don't forget, if you have children, we have Peeps Fest coming up at the end of the month. That's one of our big free events, and children's fireworks at 5:45 on New Year's Eve.
And so where is that?
That's at SteelStax campus.
Okay.
And the whole Peeps Fest activities. And right now, the cinema is running some great holiday movies. They're shout-along holiday movies. So tonight, I'm actually missing Die Hard.
Oh. Well, folks, don't miss out yourself. So check all that out. Jeff, thank you so much for being here. I really appreciate it, and all of the good works that you've done for our community. Thank you. Next week, folks, I am going to be talking about some tax-saving strategies, I think, at year end. I'm going to just throw a bunch of things together next week. That's what we're going to do. And in particular, as always, callers, our listeners' questions. So if you have questions next week, plan to call in and ask them for any last-minute tax planning strategies for the end of the year. As we mentioned, charitable giving is one of them. Coming up next, Tom Druckenmiller with In the Tradition Folk Music. Remember, pay attention, be proactive, not reactive, and make the best of your financial choices. Have a great week.